Hello, everyone, and welcome to our Sunday evening Bible study. It is August the 9th, and I hope that you're watching this no matter when you're watching this. I hope that you've had a good Sunday morning, and we enjoyed being in God's Word together this morning. I enjoyed listening to our people sing today. With all that we face throughout our week, it is such a joy to come and hear God's people sing. And we learned a couple new songs the last couple weeks, and I'm excited about those and excited to hear our people sing them. And we have sung Psalms the last few weeks since we've been studying through that. To hear people sing, literally sing God's word back to him, is so encouraging. And we're going to be in Psalms again this evening. So if you would, look at your Bible in Psalm 13. Psalm 13. As we mentioned, we are going through the Psalms throughout the summer. One reason is because you can study them in a way very independently from each other. Some of them will go together, or the theme or the thought process can be tied together, but we're able to really study them each individually rather than like a Bible study or a book of the Bible where we're walking through verse by verse. And it helps during our summertime as people are traveling and out of town, going to see family, some getting to do some vacation and different things. And it has been an encouragement to go through the Psalms and find that regardless of what we are facing in life, we have a God that we can run to. And that was what our theme was this morning. Help, Lord. Just help us. And we talked about what that was like and why David was asking for that help. And tonight he's going to implore the Lord for more help. He's going to ask the Lord to work in his life, but in a slightly different way. This morning, and for the last few chapters, he's been talking about help because of the wicked. And then this morning he said help because godly men, maybe men that David had relied on, godly men, faithful people, had ceased to be godly and had stopped being faithful. Tonight, we're going to address and talk a little bit about the fact David's really going to be looking internally, mostly internally, with how he has processed what is happening externally. Those that have come before him, those that have come after him, the issues that he's faced. But he's not just talking about the issues and those people. He's talking about, God help me in how I have handled those. So it's going to be applicable. It's going to be something that we all have to deal with things. We all have issues. We are humans. We are sinful. And we are around humans that are sinful. And sometimes we think all of our problems could go away if things would just work out the way we wanted them to. But as sinful people, if things happen sometimes the way that we wanted them to, it would cause an even bigger problem for us. So David turns not to his own wisdom and not to his own desires or even for his good things that he was trying to do for the Lord. He turns to the Lord himself. So we want to see that this evening. A brief psalm, just six verses tonight, says to the chief musician, a psalm of David. So there's very little description given about Psalm 13. Doesn't even talk about an instrument as he has the last few weeks. It doesn't talk about it being to a choir. It says to the chief musician. There's some discussion about who that is. Some think it was sort of the musician of the temple, or like a choir, almost a choir leader, a music leader of the temple, that one that would lead in the praise of God. Some think it talking to one that would lead the music specifically, not just in the temple, but in the kingdom. And then many think that he is writing this to the Lord, the one, the originator of all songs, the one that puts a new song in our mouths and hearts and lips. And many people believe that he's writing this, of course, to the Lord. We know that he's writing it in a broad sense to the Lord because of how he speaks and what he addresses in the psalm. So let's have a word of prayer quickly and ask the Lord to bless his word. Wherever you are, whenever you're watching this, I've already prayed it, recording this right after our Sunday morning, but I'd like for you to pray now, whenever you happen to be watching this, if you're as a family, for the weeks that we went without being able to meet in person. We just kept encouraging you. If you're with your family, if you're watching this with someone else, if you are going to watch kind of at the same time online with a friend, call. Gather together, pray together, and ask God to teach us now from His Word. Father, thank You for Your Word. We thank You that it is Your words to us, that though men wrote them down, You breathed them through Your Holy Spirit by these ones that have recorded it for us. So we ask that we would hold it, that we would keep it sacred in our hearts, that we would make it Your word to us in our minds, because that is literally what it is. It is Your word to us. So help us now as we look at another portion tonight. In Your precious name, amen. Look, if you would, at Psalm 13. You may have a title there. There's the title, "To the Chief Musician, a Psalm of David." But your Bible, your copy of God's Word, may have a bold print title above it. Many of them would say, "A Prayer for God's Grace." And that is what he is praying for, but it's also what he is praising God for. That's the thing about the Lord, is we can ask for grace upon grace. We have had grace and been extended grace by God, but we can ask for more of it as we face issues and trials of life. So I want you to look. This psalm breaks up really into three stanzas, or three lines, three groupings as a poem. Verse 1 and 2 are one section. Verses 3 and 4 are another. Verse 5 and 6 are another. They're not the same in length to our eyes and in our language, but they are grouped in that way, and they each address a different portion of this prayer. So we want to look at them that way. Look, if you would, at verse number 1. "How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? Forever?" That does not sound like the same David that we heard praying this morning. "I will trust in the Lord." Those that know God will trust in Him. "Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth." Now he says, "God, how long are you going to go without thinking about me?" And as selfish as that sounds, and as evil as it may sound to us to pray that way, David is expressing how his heart feels. And there's no reason that we should not express our hearts the same way. We do well sometimes to veil the way we really feel in our words, forgetting that God actually knows our hearts. But David just pens this out and writes it out for us, saying, "God, how long will you go without thinking of me? How long will you hide your face? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and hear me, O Lord, my God. Light mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest my enemy say, I have prevailed against him, and those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. But I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing unto the Lord, because he hath dealt bountifully with me." As you look at this psalm, again, it breaks up into three main portions, and we're going to look at them in that way and in that order. Number one, I want you to notice David's despair. And before we really look at David's despair, I want to give you a quote kind of that I wrote out beside this in my Bible. I took a line from verses 1 and 2 and drew it out to a quote, and then took verses 5 and 6 and drew another line up to it and said, "It is okay to ask God questions if I am willing to have them answered in His way." It is okay. Sometimes we feel like we can't question the Lord. There's a difference between questioning in a doubtful, negative way. And sometimes when our hearts feel doubts, we should express those to our God, but not with the intention of having our doubts satisfied, but with the intention of having our minds changed, knowing I'm going to ask God these questions, and He may not answer them my way, but He's going to bring me an answer in His own way, and I must be content with that. That's what David does. That's what we should do. And we find that as we look, number one, at David's despair. Notice how he expressed his despair. First, he expressed despair with God. "God, how long are you going to forget me? How long are you going to hide your face from me?" He feels as though God has abandoned him. He is searching for God, maybe in some way, and he feels as though God is far from him, and so he addresses that. Now, we know that that is not true, and David knows it's not true. He knows that the one that calls on him, that God will hear and that God will listen. but he's expressing how he feels. The despair of his heart has even turned him to where his mind, his heart feels, God has left me. So he expresses despair with God and this anxiety that he feels about it, this struggle about it. But then notice he also in verse 2 expresses despair about himself and about others. He says, how long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? He says, how long am I going to just think inside myself and churn within myself, have these anxious thoughts daily and this sorrow within my heart every day? How long is that going to go on? So he says, I'm at despair with God. I'm in despair within and of myself. And then he says, and in despair with others. He says at the end of verse number 2, how long shall my enemy be exalted over me? How long is my enemy going to dominate me? Now, for us, that could be a person that is struck out against us. It could be sin. It could be Satan that is fighting against us. So he's at despair with God, at despair with himself, and then at despair with those around him. He has despair overall. His feeling of his heart is despair. Think about some of the things that this has led to. He has, if you would express it this way, in modern day, some may say he has a overwhelming sense of sorrow, a depression of sorts that can come or be led to by a number of different ways. Some people's temperaments just lead toward negative sorrow, and we have to trust the Lord. Those of us that struggle that way have to trust the Lord and seek his victory over those things. Illness can lead to that. You can go through sickness where your body has a pain and a negative feeling for long enough that it causes despair in your heart with God, with yourself, and with others. God, you've left me this way. When you speak to yourself, why are you handling this way? And when you look at others, it's, why are you treating me this way? Because of how I feel. And illness can lead to that. Exhaustion can do the same thing. When we overwork our lives, when we don't seek rest in the Lord, we think, God, why aren't you paying attention to all my efforts? We think to ourselves, why can't you do better? And we think about others, why don't you pay attention to this? Why don't you take notice of what I'm doing? It leads to exhaustion. It leads to this discouragement. There can be a letdown from, you can have some high spiritually or physically, a good point in life, and then we're brought low, and depression can come out of victory. Discouragement can come from victory. Because when we go back down into the realm of what we call normal life or struggles, we think, God, why didn't you let me stay at that point of victory? We think to ourselves, how could you get down to this point again? And we look to others, and why is no one else around me seeing this or trying this? You think of pressure from the world. The world is pressing in on me. God, don't you see this? To myself, why can't you handle this? And to others, why do you push me? And so David's yearning or his declaration of despair from his heart really expresses what we often feel from a variety of circumstances in life. We ask God, we ask ourselves, and we ask others, why is there this struggle and there is despair? Then notice the second thing, David's prayer. This is verses 3 and 4. He says, consider and hear me, O Lord, my God, light mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death, lest mine enemies say, I have prevailed against him, and those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. So his despair is with God, himself, and others. And then his prayer. Notice how his prayer runs. He prays first for his relationship with God, and then his reaction or his victory against those that would cause him harm or that seek him to see him fall. Notice the first thing about his prayer, he prays for his own relationship with God. I think it's important that he starts with that. Before he ever prays for victory over physical things or others, he prays for his own heart. God, consider me, hear me, light mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. His first prayer is, God, hear me. Now he knows that God hears him, but in a way he is praying, God, help me know that you have acknowledged this prayer. Fill me with your spirit. Show me physically. Give me some feeling that you have heard my cry. He says, hear me, O Lord, my God. He humbly lowers himself underneath that in a penitent way, God, coming below the Lord, saying, God, I know you're high and lifted up. I know you're exalted, but I'm asking you to lower and bend your ear to hear my cry. Spirit of our prayer should be humble. Notice what he says, enlighten my eyes. He says, reveal to me, be my eyes, show me what you see. When in my circumstance of life, I see trouble and problems, God, help me to see with your eyes, light mine eyes. Right now, I have a veiled vision. Clear that out of my eyes. I have gunk, if you would, for lack of a better way, disease and sickness in my eyes. It needs to be wiped and cleared and healed. I have dark tinted sunglasses on and I'm in a dark room. I can't see anything. God, turn the light on for me, not just so that I understand everything, but so that my heart would be encouraged in you. He says, lest I sleep the sleep of death. He says, lest I fall asleep spiritually, lest my life in a way spiritually be kind of faded out because I can't see your goodness. I know that is there. So the response to David's despair is prayer in his heart and life. It seems so simple and so easy to just say, when you struggle, like we said this morning, when you struggle, go to God's word. Last week we said, what can the righteous do? We trust God. When we say tonight, God, how long are you going to forsake me? Myself is, my own heart is struggling and others around me are pressing in. And it says, well, the answer is just to pray. It sounds so cliche to say, when I struggle, I trust God, I go to his word, and I pray to him. But what other weapons has God given us? This shield, this sword that is the word of God, this shield, the belt of truth, the prayers that I can pray. What else is there? God has equipped us with his word and with his spirit by which we can pray through Jesus Christ to God our Father. Yet we forsake most often prayer and God's word. He prays about his relationship with his God, but then he says, verse 4, and it's okay to pray this way. Lest my enemy say, I've prevailed against him, and those that trouble me rejoice when I am shifted or moved. He prays for victory against those seeking to tear him down. He says, God, I realize that I have sinned in the past. I struggle with that sin. People know of that sin. Some is in public, some is in secret. But God, I am striving. I want to serve you. I love those around me with your love. And God, please protect me from those that would tear me down for your sake, those that have turned against you. God, this is not just about me and my own sake and what others think of me. This is about your will and your testimony. I have turned to you. I have asked you to help in my relationship with you. I have changed to seek after you. And now I'm asking you to protect me from those that would destroy that. And our prayer is not just that we have victory to prove who's right, but that we have victory so that our God gets glory. And then he finishes by saying he has this despair that he states, the prayer that he prays. But then number 3, the praise that he gives to his God. Look at verse 5 and 6. He says, but I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing unto the Lord because he had dealt bountifully with me. I want you to notice the 3 things that he says that he's doing here in this praise. He says, I trust in your mercy. That word mercy very simply is faithful love. What better description of God's mercy in that he faithfully loves us in spite of our sin, in spite of our wrongdoing, in spite of our past. God faithfully loves us. This should break our hearts in a good way that in spite of what we may have done and how we have failed, God has faithfully loved us and mercifully extended to us a second chance, a third chance, infinite opportunity as we strive to serve him. Though we fail, we can be thankful that he is faithfully loving us in mercy. He says, I trust in not in myself and my own deeds, but in the fact that you faithfully love me in spite of my own deeds. Then he says, my heart rejoices. So I trust in your faithful mercy. I rejoice in your salvation. Notice what he says, in your deliverance. There's nothing that should cause us to rejoice more than that God has delivered us from sin. If we are Christians, if you have your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, it is not about your past. It is not about even your struggles. It's not even about just the sin that we fail with sometimes on a daily basis, but that God has delivered us from those and is seeking to sanctify us and make us new and change us to become more like Him. He says, I trust in your mercy and faithful love. I rejoice in your salvation. And then he says, I sing to the Lord because he had dealt bountifully with me. I trust in your faithful love. I rejoice in your salvation. I sing of how you have treated me, how you have dealt with me, how you have overwhelmingly extended your blessing to me, physically, but spiritually. And what better way does David turn our eyes to the Lord? He says, we have despair and we have trouble, but we have an answer in our God in prayer. And because of that, I will trust, I will rejoice, and I will sing. Isn't it awesome how the Psalms speak to the troubles of our hearts, the struggles of our minds? That when I despair, it's not like we click a button or open our Bible or point to a verse or quote a phrase and whew, everything changes. But we do know that God never changes. And notice what David praises the Lord for. He praises the Lord for the things that never change about God. God faithfully loves. God faithfully delivers and saves. And God faithfully treats us bountifully in spite of our own actions and who we are. We serve a great and awesome God. So this week, as we deal with others, as we deal with our own problems, our own minds, our own hearts, may we, yes, ask questions of God in our despair, but be content when he answers them in his way. When we pray, don't just despair with no prayer. David didn't just go from despair to praise. He went from despair to taking it to the Lord, to praising the Lord for his bountiful actions, for his salvation, and for the work that he had done in his life, his faithful love. So this week when we despair, may we pray, and then may we, God, turn that into praise. Because he enlightens our eyes to see that though physical problems come, though there's issues temporarily in life, he faithfully loves us. He mercifully has saved us, and he bountifully has treated us in a way that we do not deserve. I love you, church, and I'm praying for you. I hope that you'll continue to trust the Lord through the midst of all of this. We're going to be getting back to meeting in person in a different way in the evenings, but coming up soon. We've talked to you a little bit about that. At some point, I'll release a video that and document that it really explains and extends even in more detail than we've already gone into. But that September 13th date that we're sort of looking toward to extend back into some of the ministries that we have had in the past, open those things back up, praying that the Lord will continue to protect us, that he will alleviate the things that are going on in our society and in our world, and that he proves himself again faithful to us because he is. Praying for you. I love you. I hope that you have a great night.